The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
From teaching a retreat, a seven-day retreat at IRC, and it's still kind of with me. And so what I'd like to do this evening is something a little different than we usually do. I would like to introduce to you with some little bit of teaching, prepare you to do a guided meditation, and do a short guided meditation. And because sometimes the teachings are learned much better if your mind is quiet and calm, and you're your own teacher by studying your own mind, your own heart. So at this retreat, there was a woman came and talked to me and said that she had turned a corner in her meditation practice because her breathing had now become her friend. And she said that wasn't always that way, and it started to move in that direction when her mother was in hospice. And her mother was laying there in hospice, apparently quite content, and said something like, "I never knew that I breathed," and it's kind of special. And so that was, you know, of course she knew she breathed. She must have meant she didn't really know it. And for her mother to have that kind of insight as she was dying kind of struck this woman as kind of remarkable. And then in the next couple of years, she had a number of women, some friends who died that she accompanied, and she was there for their last breath. And that was quite impactful for her. And those three things together, and coming to do meditation, she said, turned her relationship around. So now her own breathing is her friend, is a companion, is something that's valuable and meaningful. I suppose it also means that her breathing is interesting, more interesting maybe than some of the things she could be thinking about. Maybe some of you wish that your breath was more interesting than some of the things you think about. So the breath can be interesting, to see the first breath of a being, to see the last breath of a person, to be so centered in your breath that it really becomes, feels like what keeps you alive is quite interesting, quite helpful sometimes. But there's something related to that, and that is not just the breathing is special, but the fact that we're conscious is pretty special. The fact that we're aware. And awareness, the specialness of awareness for me was somehow something I appreciated for a while, and I've told the story many times. Apologize for those of you who heard it. But there was a period of my life, 10 years ago or so, or 10, 15 years ago, where I found myself very fascinated by old photographs. And the older, the better. They had to be so old that's, with people in them that certainly the person in the picture was now dead. And I would be pulled to those, like see them on walls in different places, and I'd go and go study those pictures. And I was particularly drawn to the expression in the people's faces, and even more so to the eyes in the photograph. And some really old pictures had very sharp resolution, and you could see really clearly, and sometimes there was a spark of awareness, spark of aliveness, that you could see a twinkle or something in the person's eye that was photographed. Or you would see a certain expression that the person had, that they had for those few moments they took the picture. And this idea that they had captured, the picture captured, the spark of awareness, spark of consciousness, spark of how that person was alive for that moment. Kind of, I kept looking at that, And at some point, I kind of reflected, you know, why am I so pulled to that? It was because it was a mirror, these pictures became a mirror for myself. Because when I looked at these old photographs, what I was reminded was, yes, that was their moment to be conscious. And this is my moment. This is my moment. This moment will never be again. And to be conscious and aware that spark of awareness only happens now, only happens in the present moment. And so what do you do with this precious consciousness, precious awareness, attention that you have? If it's a jewel, if it's something really valuable, if it's considered one of the keys to a meaningful, successful, happy life, don't you want to stay close to awareness, close to that spark of consciousness, and not lost in planning and lost in, you know, the past or the future or fantasy, but to really kind of be present and aware in a way that you know you're aware. And we know that it's very easy to lose that. And so another analogy that I like to give, or a story, is that imagine that you are safe and secure on a stable riverbank. Maybe you've come for a long hike, you've come to rest on the riverbank, there's a nice oak tree, you're resting against a tree, you're in a very secure, safe place. And it's nice to finally be secure. And then you're looking at the river, you're just watching the river go by, and then you see coming down from upriver is a beautiful, alluring showboat with flashing lights and bands playing music and wonderful casinos and all kinds of things on that showboat. And the next thing you know, you don't even know what happened, the next thing you know, you're on the boat. And you're in the boat doing all the things that showboats do. And it takes you maybe a few weeks to realize that you're no longer on the safe riverbank, but you're on this boat. And then so you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be on the river. So you want to go back. So it takes a while to get off the boat and find your way back up the river. And finally you're back there under your tree and resting and you feel safe again. And then after a little while, this warship comes down. And it's fighting a war. It's all guns blazing, and it's pretty dramatic. And you don't know what the war is about, but it's a serious war. And the next thing you know, you're on that boat. And you have your helmet on, and you're fighting the war, the good cause, and you're going to fix everything up, fix everybody up. And you're fighting the war. And that takes you a while to realize you're not very safe on the war boat. You were safe back on the river bank. So finally you get off and you make your way back up the river. And you finally, oh, this is good to be back here. And you're watching the river go by. And then another boat comes down. This time it's a poor, old, decrepit raft. And you see this poor, it's hardly floating. And you find yourself suddenly on the raft. And you find yourself on the raft saying, poor me, what am I doing on this poor little boat? I never get the good boats. I'll never get a good boat. Oh, it's so hard. And then you're floating down. That takes really long to get off. It turns out it's more stable than the showboat or the warboat. It's really well held together. It doesn't look that way. And so finally you come back, you know, back on the secure riverbank. So this is kind of like how it is with our minds, right? You can finally, you can be present. Spark of awareness speaks to you. The breath speaks to you. You're only breathing now. You're here and present. You're alive in the present moment. You know you're alive. And you feel content and maybe safe in this kind of place. But then some wonderful thought goes by. And you don't just let it go by. Bye-bye. You get on that boat. You get on that thought. You're involved in it, and it takes a while to even realize that you're on that boat, involved in that thought, and it may take some work to get off that boat, to kind of let go of it enough to come back to the safe place of mindfulness. So we can watch the thoughts come by. Thoughts occur; they certainly happen, but then that's how we get involved with them, or how we stay and watch them by staying on the riverbank and watch them go by. And then the last kind of little teaching I want to do before doing this guided meditation is a very central image in Buddhism is that of a lotus in muddy waters, meaning that a lotus might grow in muddy water, in swamp or something, but when a lotus blossom, lotus flower blossoms or blooms, it comes out and the stalk pushes us off out of the mud, and it opens up, and there's no mud, no water left on that beautiful white or whatever colored lotus it might be. So to have the mud, have the mind like a lotus and muddy water, is to have a mind which is connected to this world, the muddy world, is connected to this world, but is not touched by it. There's a certain clarity of the mind that, or that is, it's clear, it's pure, like a pure lotus, clear. And so all kinds of things might be happening. In fact, maybe you need the mud. You need to have the world and all the stuff that goes on in your mind and your heart and what goes on. But it's out of that that your mind can become clear, open, blossomed, and not sullied or not colored or not muddied by what goes on in the world. So connected but not caught in its grip. So those are the images and the kind of background for this guided meditation. So if you'd like to do it, you don't have to do it. You can just sit here. But you've been sitting for a while, and it's good to have fresh legs when you meditate. So if you'd like to stand and stretch, you're welcome to. So take a posture that supports you during these next minutes. If you are tired, it might be more useful to sit up a little bit stronger, straighter. So there's a little more energy in your posture. If you're restless and agitated, it might be more useful to settle back and kind of be more, not so upright, be more relaxed in your posture. So the posture supports kind of what brings you balance. And then gently close your eyes. So here you are. Here. And there's something very profound about this very simple, innocent statement. Here I am. Here you are. Here. If you stay closely connected to just this fact, realizing this, chances are your life will be transformed. Here, here you are. And to kind of connect more fully to here, you could take a few long, slow, deep breaths, feeling your body on the inside as you breathe in deeply, stretching your torso. And then relaxing your body as you exhale. And then let your breathing return to normal. And take a few moments to scan through your body to see if there's any obvious places that you can relax. Muscles of the face. Perhaps you can soften around the shoulders. Some people they can let their shoulders become heavier, feel the heaviness there. The shoulders maybe can give a little, settle a little. And it can be helpful to soften the belly. Relax your belly. then I'm going to direct your attention to a variety of different things. And you're not going to be for very long with any of this. So maybe try to hang in there. With this spark of awareness that you have, it's very special to be aware. And with your awareness, become aware of your body breathing. Be aware of the body inhaling, exhaling. And not so much as if you're in the control tower watching or thinking about the breathing, but more the kind of awareness that you feel the experience of breathing. You feel the body's experience of breathing. You had a first breath when you were born. Someday you'll have your last breath. For now, you have a rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. And if you're breathing, you are alive. And if you're aware of breathing, you're using that spark of consciousness, a spark of awareness in the present moment. If you have trouble being with your breathing, ever so slightly, almost so it's imperceptible even to yourself, add a little bit of intention to breathe a little bit more fully than you normally do. A slightly deeper in-breath, ever so slightly extended out-breath. Not so much that you get tired from the effort, but just so you're a little bit more involved, you can feel it more fully. And then as you do so, become aware if there's any thoughts that float by down the river and whether you get involved in them. Notice what kind of boats you get involved in. If you don't get involved, they just kind of float by and you can stay with your breathing. Just stay with your breathing. But if you find yourself involved in your thoughts on the boat, remember that spark of awareness. Remember the specialness of your, just the fact that you're breathing. And return again to breathing. Come back to breath. as you exhale, let the exhale be a time to settle back, to relax, to let go, as you exhale, you're sitting down on the bank of the river under the oak tree to relax, to just be and be there to watch the beginning of the next in-breath. And then take a few moments now to switch your attention from your breathing to as relaxed way that you can. Very calmly become aware of the strongest sensation in your body. And as you're aware of the strongest sensation, do you get involved in any boats? Do you start thinking at all? An experiment to see if you can just be aware of the strongest sensation without any reactivity. Just for a few moments, like a lotus that's blossomed out of the muddy water. So your awareness of the strongest sensation is aware but not troubled by what you feel. And then return again to your breathing. Letting go of any thoughts you have as you exhale. Just breathing. And now switch your attention to become aware of any mood or mental state or emotional state that you have. How are you feeling now? Become aware of that. See if you can be aware of it calmly, with no reactivity, just allowing it to be there. Noticing if there's any thoughts that come by that you get involved in, rather than simply feeling how you feel. Simple acknowledgement of how you are, as if it's okay to be just that, okay to be just that way. All you're asked to do is to be aware. And then come back again and feel your breathing. the breath of life, your companion, your whole life. Something that can be your friend. It's certainly there to support you. Switch your attention to become aware of your thinking. And now you're allowed to think whatever your mind thinks. But see if you can stay on the safe riverbank and just let your thoughts drift by, recognizing them for what they are, with a kind of awareness that you know you're aware. You're conscious of the fact that you're thinking, as opposed to lost in the thoughts. See if you can be without any reactivity to what you're thinking, without any getting on the boat. And then come back for just a couple of minutes again to your breathing. Feel your breath. Know that you're breathing. And in order to know that you're breathing, you have to be aware. To know your body sensations, you have to be aware. To know what you're feeling, what you're thinking, you have to be aware. And if awareness is like the lotus, can you, for a few minutes here, just be here present with an open awareness? Not choosing to focus on the breath or choosing to focus on anything, but choosing to really know that you're alive with a spark of awareness. To know that there's awareness. And through that awareness passes all kinds of boats. The boats of breath, the boats of the body, boats of thoughts, feelings. But let your awareness be big enough, wide enough, that it can all pass through, just aware. And to end this sitting, you can take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Feel your body. Feel your contact with the chair, the cushion, the floor. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So I know for many of you, maybe you had a busy day or a full day, and doing two meditations in one evening when you're really ready for sleep is hard. Maybe you're drifting off. It's okay. But I was wondering if some of you would like to share a little bit about what you might have learned in doing that guided meditation, to whatever degree you're able to follow along. Anything that you learned, any reflections that seemed significant for you that came out of following along and doing that? So is there a mic over there?
I noticed, well, I can hardly talk. I noticed that I was much less caught in my thoughts. My thoughts were there, but I wasn't immersed in them like I usually am.
So one of the things you learned was it's possible to not be so caught.
Yes.
That's nice.
I learned that.
Great.
Yes.
Trudy just sat on the same retreat as me. Fresh off also. Someone else. Trudy here in the front.
As we were sitting on the shore and like allowing ourselves to think, I noticed that I didn't want to think if I wasn't going to get on a boat, and I wanted to go back into the breath, and it's just really interesting to notice.
So you have any sense why you didn't want to get back into the boats, into the thoughts?
Why I didn't?
Yeah.
Because we were practicing just watching. And so I just wanted to like watch them, but as soon as like they would, as soon as a thought would come, I was so pulled that I would just want to go back into the breath because that seemed easier than to
just watch it.
Watch it.
So the being with the breath kept you from being pulled into the thoughts. Great, that's a good thing to know. Some people, at some point, as the meditation gets a little deeper, can get a very clear understanding, feeling, and knowing that it's not that interesting to be involved in thoughts. There's better things to do than to think. Isn't that nice? Better things to do than watch the commercials. Yes, there we are, Jim.
Thanks. So I've been in a kind of like an anxious mode. So every time I was in the boat, it would be kind of peaceful for a second, and then a hole would get poked in the boat, and then I'd find myself like trying to like, you know, dish out the water, or like plug up that hole as best as I could, and then I'd realize like that's not going to work. So just like get back on the shore, like for whatever reason, it's just like not going to work. So,
So when you went back on the shore, it meant that you kind of the anxiety kind of abated a little bit.
Yeah, a bit, and then I was still like watching some guy like trying to like get the water out of the boat, and I was like, no, it doesn't look any good. I'm not going to go back there for a few seconds, and then I went right back.
Great. So, yeah. So you had to redo it regularly, but they kept you from getting caught in the anxiety.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Behind you. And the green light should be, is a green light on?
Yes.
Okay.
I like to use this kind of meditation quite often to analyze my feelings. And that's what I did again, and I really love it. because it's really good. It put me in contact with myself. And one of the things that I did, again, is because I had a choice. I was sitting in the bench, in the bank, seeing the people passing by and analyzing my feelings. Oh, they are there, I'm here, and I'm relaxed, and this is beautiful. I like the tree, I like the river, I like all this. So it's a very, very relaxing thing for me when I can, without interruptions, without nobody talking to me or the phone or whatever, to really stay with my feelings. So,
and just to watch without getting involved in them.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah.
If you can use the mics, because some people can't hear otherwise.
I don't need a mic.
No, you don't need. No, no. See, some people have hearing assistant devices, and so they can't hear at all unless that's goes through the.
Yeah, I'm here visiting a friend of mine. We both had medical procedures together. I mean, not together, but recently, and we're helping each other out, and. I just realized how precious that he's breathing each breath and that I am, and without us doing it together, we wouldn't have each other.
Mm. Nice. Thank you.
Very thankful.
Thank you. To be thankful, to appreciate this life, thankful for this life, for this breathing, to be aware, it's a great thing. And to be thankful for each other. Maybe a couple of more. It's kind of nice, sweet for me to hear some of these things.
Hi. Feelings. Just aware how caught I was in the feeling. And definitely really just struggling to say, oh, yeah, and I'm still caught, and I'm still caught, and I'm still caught, and just to be aware of that. And it's very difficult when it's intense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But in order to know that you're caught, you're aware. And so even for a fraction of a moment to appreciate that you're aware, it's pretty neat to be aware. You're not going to get a lot of time to be aware in the scale of the cosmos. Your time to be aware is pretty short. So it's good to remember. So even if you're caught in all your things, if you know you're caught, there's enough space there to appreciate, wow, at least I'm aware. Someone else? What did you learn about yourself or learn from that? Aside maybe that you were tired. Here, over here.
It seemed like most of my thoughts could fit into the three boats somehow, in those three categories.
Did it help to kind of see them as a category? Were you less likely to stay on the boat then?
Yeah, I was pretty caught, but I was aware I was caught, so
that's,
maybe
that's
strengthening.
That's good. But you didn't actually make it to the shore.
A little bit. A little
you just
bit.
Jumped between the boats.
They were all three at the same. No.
Great, thank you. Okay. So thank you for going along with this. I hope it was nice for you, meaningful in some way, gave you some sense of what's possible. And if it was somehow significant what we did here in the guided meditation, I have a suggestion for you. And that is, as you go to bed tonight and you put your head on the pillow, spend a few moments relaxing. And not thinking too much, not trying too much, but just relaxing and appreciate that you're alive, that you're breathing, and that you're aware. Just that, just enjoy that. And then go to sleep. Thank you.